Welcome to Stop Blocking the Miracle. I love this topic, and Spirit has given me the subtitle, Three Things You Can Do Now to Activate Your Miraculous Life of Love. So I'm going to start us off with a prayer here. I invite you to place your hand on your heart and take this breath of love and gratitude with me as we are so grateful and so thankful to dedicate our time together right here, right now, whether listening live or listening later. We're dedicating ourselves to opening up and living a miraculous life. We are grateful and thankful to surrender anything that blocks the miracle from flowing in our heart and in our mind. We partner up with the higher Holy Spirit self, hand on our heart. We declare that we are worthy of a miraculous life, and we are willing to live that life starting now. We are grateful to open our minds to a clear awareness of anything we can let go of that is a block to love, a block to living a miraculous life. We are grateful and thankful to open our hearts and minds to a clear pathway of more peace, more love, more joy, more wholeness, more prosperity, standing in the awareness that it is our true nature and it is our divine destiny that we live a life of perfect wholeness, beauty, truth, wisdom, clarity, freedom, and abundance, and so much more. We are claiming our spiritual destiny. We are willing to live this life of love, to walk the talk, and to stand in the awareness of wholeness. Yes. In gratitude, we share the benefits of our healing and our expansion with everyone because we are one with them. In gratitude, we let it be, and so it is. Amen. Amen, amen. Yes. So I'm Jennifer Hadley, and thank you once again for joining me today. And let me say a couple of things here right off the bat. I will be taking questions. If you'd like to raise your hand with a star 2, you can do that. But wait a minute, because we're going to stay on topic here. We're really going to stay on topic. So I'm going to cover as much as I possibly can. I have allotted 2 hours. I don't know that we'll go that long, but we'll just see where Spirit takes us. I don't feel that I am in charge. Spirit is in charge. We're going to see where we go. And if you would like to type a question, sometimes we have a little problem with the technology. We were having a problem earlier with the question box. If you don't see the question box and you're listening online, just refresh your browser. You ought to be able to see the question box there. And you can call in on the web call. That's a free call. And if you've not looked at the local call-in numbers, there are local call-in numbers for so many countries around the world now. It's pretty good. They keep adding more and more. So that's really, really nice. All right. So one of the things that I'm going to promise you that I'm going to do in this call is I am going to tell you about my Finding Freedom Spiritual Boot Camp for truly living A Course in Miracles. And I'll be telling you about that later. And I just want you to know that I will be giving you these next steps that you can do. And just trust that if my boot camp is right for you, you'll feel it and you'll know it. I really think that that's the best guidance of all. And I am interested in inspiring you and motivating you to do the work. And you can definitely do everything I tell you on your own. And if you'd like to do it with me, I'll tell you how that can happen. So one of the things about me and my life and the Power of Love Ministry and what we're doing at the Power of Love Ministry is we're here to be of service. So in the time that we have allotted, I'm going to give you as much as I possibly can. And I'm like I said, going to tell you how to take the next step if you feel motivated to do that. Now, if you've been listening to the Living A Course in Miracles classes, you may have heard many stories of how challenging doing this work has been for me, how really difficult it has been for me. And when I started with my spiritual practice or spirituality, I was really coming from a place of literally rock bottom, wanting to kill myself. And I began to see that spirituality was the thing that I could cling to like a life raft. But, you know, for probably 20 years of studying spirituality, the ego was driving my spiritual practice and my spiritual studies, and I didn't even know it. So I wasn't making as much progress as I knew that I could make. And so I kept running up against the same kinds of things. And this may seem familiar to you, but this was me blocking the miracle. So I would have the same arguments with the same people again and again and again. I would have the same kinds of disappointments, not just with the same people, but also with different people again and again and again experiencing the same disappointments. And I would hear myself make these declarations like, see, that's just why I can never blah, blah, blah. See, there just goes to show you why you can never trust, or you can never this, can never that. They always let you down. I used to make those declarative statements again and again and again and again. And so I felt like I was in a loop, and I felt like no matter how much I was putting into my spiritual practice and my spiritual studies, I just wasn't having the kind of success that I felt I could have, that I felt I should have. And that was crazy making. It made me feel like there was something really, really wrong with me. I felt spiritually stupid. And at the same time, I was studying to be a practitioner and then studying to be a minister in the Agape community, and yet still feeling spiritually stupid, still feeling that I could see I would feel so lifted up and I would feel so empowered, and then crash, bam, boom, I would be self-medicating and drink way too much, smoking, drinking, eating too much salt, chips, and or too much sugar, or something like that. Just self-medicating the body, or working way too hard, exhausting myself, exercising way too hard, exhausting myself. I was living in these extremes, and I kept finding myself back in the same place again. What's wrong with me? Why do I keep making the same mistakes? And so for me, I came to this realization that while I didn't understand it, I knew I was playing small. I knew it. I knew that there was something more that I was called to be, to do, to live. And not thinking that what I was called to do was to be internationally famous or a rock star or anything remotely like that, but just that I was feeling this inner call to just be happy and to feel beautiful, to feel healthy, to feel harmonious, to feel prosperous and abundant. And so it took me quite a long time, but I finally realized something that I had been teaching for years was actually true. I realized that I wasn't living as though it were true. I was talking about it, I was teaching it, and I could tell you that I believed it, but I didn't operate in my life as though it were true. And that's the law of cause and effect. So I was talking about that in one of the Living A Course in Miracles classes, that the law of cause and effect is always operating. And so that means that all of life, everything that we can see and everything that we can't see, is responding to us in each and every moment. Each and every moment. However, even though I was teaching it, even though I had read many books about it and been studying it and was certified to teach it, I wasn't operating as though it were true. So I gave myself all kinds of permission to use the power of my thought and my word to denigrate, to be unkind, to be judgmental, to be attacking, to be critical and complaining. I was still using my word that way most of the time. That was me. And I'll tell you, one of the things that people say when they join my Finding Freedom class is they will say a couple months into it that they'll say, "Oh my God, I cannot believe how much I've changed in such a short period of time." Because the boot camp is designed to be done in 7 weeks, but I give you 3 months. And I give you 3 months and not 3 years because it's so important to be able to have a deadline. Having a deadline is really valuable. In having a deadline, you are forcing yourself to not just play small and say, "I'll do it tomorrow, I'll do it tomorrow, I'll do it tomorrow." So I help you in so many ways to move forward powerfully and beautifully. And in my experience of playing small, one of the things that I found that was like an irresistible temptation for me was the complaining and the judging. And I had no idea at the time that it was literally ruining my life. The complaining and the judging, whether I was complaining about myself or complaining about someone else, whether I was judging myself or judging someone else, doesn't matter because there's only one. These thoughts of judgment and complaint obstruct the flow of miracles. They are the number one things. So in the Finding Freedom class, this is what people tell me. They'll say, "I just had no idea I was so judgmental. I started this class and you were talking about judgment and I thought, that's not me. I'm not very judgmental." But once they start to really do the work in the class and work the tools that I give you, and there I give you a whole lot of tools so you can find the ones, and I'll help you find the ones that work best for you, and you apply them one at a time or two at a time, whatever works for you. You can go at your own pace, and as you work these tools, you start to realize just what's actually going on in our mind. So many times we just don't really want to pay attention to where our attention really is. So we don't even know all the myriad ways that we are blocking the miracle. It seems like we don't know it. The thing is, all day long, we all get so many signs, tips, little intuitive hits that's not very loving, that's not going to go well, that's not the path of helpfulness, that's not going to make you happy. We get all these little intuitive hits, but we ignore them because the ego wants what it wants when it wants it. And so we stop paying attention. And then we just start to feel bad. Because as spiritual students, We're praying, we're meditating, we're doing all kinds of things in order to clear our mind and live a life of love and be truly helpful. And we have all these wonderful goals and lofty conversations. But when it comes right down to it, the smallest thing can send us into a vicious attack against ourselves or someone else. And then we end up feeling like the power to our heart and mind has been cut, and we feel depressed and sad and listless and like a failure, and we just fall into apathy. Why do I even bother? I mean, I have been through all of this again and again and again, and because I used to repeat it so much, like I said, I felt spiritually stupid. Now, one of the things that for me is I made this decision to interrupt that pattern of being judgmental and attacking. I made a decision to truly be as loving as I could be. And the making of a decision is so powerful. It's so helpful. It makes such a difference. It makes such a difference. Because in that making a decision, what happens is we are calling forth a new energetic. But many of us are afraid to make a decision. We're afraid to make a decision like, I am going to get in shape, right? Haven't we all done that? We said, I'm going to get in shape. I'm going to start an exercise program. I'm going to eat less sugar, drink less alcohol. I'm going to quit smoking. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. And then the next day comes, and we don't even remember that we made that decision the day before. So then we feel like we're powerless. We feel disempowered. We feel that there's something wrong with us because we keep playing small in these ways. And we say, I'm not going to eat any of those cookies. And the next thing we know, we've eaten half a bag. We say, I'm not going to sleep with them again. And the next thing we know, we did. Oops, I did it again. Britney Spears, right? So we have so many of these experiences that we do not feel trustworthy. We do not feel reliable. So we hesitate to make a decision. We hesitate to really change because we have this strong belief that we will fail, that we can't do it, that we don't have what it takes. So what I learned is God has what it takes. Spirit has what it takes. I'm going to lean into Spirit, and I'm not going to do it on my own. And that's how I came to what I call partnering up, not doing it on my own. So in order to really make that decision, I'm doing things differently, I'm changing my life, this is the turning point. Today is the turning point, not tomorrow, not when this changes and that changes, but right now, this is the turning point. This decision is the turning point. Because for me, the decision is a turning point. I've learned that. And having made some decisions where I kept to those decisions, I now know the power of making that decision. And so I made a decision to be as loving as I could be all day, every day. Now, in that decision was also the recognition that I would fall down, but I could get up. So it wasn't about doing it perfectly all the time, but it was about being more consistent and keeping my eye on the prize. So that's why you're here with me today. Whether you're listening live with me or you're listening later, we are the two or more who are gathered in the name and the nature of love to change our mind, to make a decision to truly be helpful, to live a life of love, and to stop playing small, to find freedom in our heart and mind. One of the things I can say is that I just want to appreciate you for showing up and joining me here today, even if you're listening later, because so many people are willing to listen, but they get stuck in the implementation phase of what they learn, right? So that was me. I took so many classes. I read so many books. I did so much of that, but I wasn't implementing it. And so time and time again, what I found was, oh boy, I took another class, I did another retreat, I did another workshop, and I gathered more information, I read more books and more books and more books, gathering information, but not applying it. So one of the decisions I made was to start applying what I learned. It's actually, if you keep learning things and studying and studying and studying without applying, one of the things that happens is your mind actually gets cluttered. You learn so many different techniques, so many different pathways, so many different things, and you're just in the intellectual phase of collecting information, but information is not healing. So one of the decisions you can make that you can do right now to activate your miraculous life of love is to make a decision now to start really applying what you've learned. And if the one thing that you apply that you've learned is this, it will change your life. That one thing is to make that decision to stop judging. It's the hardest thing I've ever done. I still work at it. I'm not there yet. I can tell you I've had judgments today already. But the thing is that now I don't think I'm right all the time. I do think I'm right some of the time, and when I do, I notice I don't feel comfortable anymore, and then I can say, oh, there I was trying to be right again. Oh, there I was thinking I knew. But the ego just doesn't know the way to being happy. So we have to be willing to give up our attachments to our judgments and to make that the top priority. Because what happens is, and I was talking about this in the class the other day, where A Course in Miracles tells us that our body temple is a temple. Let's not get distracted by the temple, it says. Notice that the main thing about the temple is the altar, and the altar is our heart. And so what we place on the altar is of maximal importance. And what A Course in Miracles tells us is we've covered our altar with false idols, with beliefs and opinions that obstruct the free flow of love, which is our miraculous life. So in order for us to live a miraculous life, we literally have to disengage from the opinions and the judgments of the ego. But you will notice that your whole life is built around and structured around the opinions and judgments of the ego. When we start this work, most of us, whether we recognize it or not, our identity is completely a bundle of judgments and opinions. And I remember at one point in this process, I was meditating, and it came into my mind, if I clear out all these judgments and opinions, and I truly cultivate a pristine awareness, a clear and open mind, who will I be? What will my personality be like? Will Jennifer even still exist? How will I recognize myself? Will I still exist? Who am I without the opinions and judgments? And the higher Holy Spirit self said, yes, who will you be? Who will you be? And the answer I got was, I will be myself, my true self. And Spirit asked me, And will that be enough for you? Will that be okay? And I had to make that decision for myself. Yes. Yes. I would like a life without opinions and judgments. So this is part of the implementation phase. So we can study and we can read and we can discuss all day and all night, but it's the active practice that I know changes lives. And so we have so often, unbeknownst to us, been blocking the miracle. And the number one thing that we do that blocks the miracle is judging, complaining, having opinions. Now, A Course in Miracles says, and we talked about this early in the Living A Course in Miracles series, but I'd like to share it again. A Course in Miracles defines a miracle for us. And it tells us that the miracle is when we give up the ego way of thinking and we think the thoughts of God with the Holy Spirit. So we give up the ego thinking and we start thinking with spirit, with the spirit mind, with the I am presence. We align with the I am presence, the higher Holy Spirit self. And we think the thoughts of love and compassion and kindness and generosity and patience and willingness. That's the miracle when we shift our mind. And then the miracle demonstrates in form. And it demonstrates in form in so many ways. It's unbelievable. I've had so many miraculous experiences in my life. And so many things have come together and worked well for me. And there have been so many times when it seemed like the road was blocked. There's so many times when it seemed like there was no way out. And things were crumbling or crushing or even just confusing or even just, don't know how this is going to work. But staying in that place of non-judgment and being able to practice that with faith, with confidence, knowing the light of God can never fail, then the way out of what seemed like being stuck or in a difficult place or being trapped or being in some situation that was not for my good, all of that would fall away in miraculous ways and things would happen that would lift me and carry me to higher ground, to the next best space. And I've had it happen so many times now that now I know it always will happen. But it does require, it requires my willingness to surrender the judgments and the opinions. So it's not that I don't ever have judgments and opinions. I have them all the time, but they're coming up for healing. So I don't identify with them and believe them and energize them and make them real like I used to. So this is an important thing. This is an important thing to understand. And I've helped so many people in the implementation of these practices, working with it on a day-by-day basis, where you're building your confidence and you're building your sense of, wow, this can really work. Wow, this is really happening. And even being able to go through phases where it seems like, oh boy, all heck is breaking loose in my life. Uh-oh, boy, I don't know how this is going to go. Oh, this does not look good. And to be able to not give in to thinking it's falling apart or it's bad and wrong or it's a disaster, not giving in to those kinds of judgments, but to be able to stand in a place learning how to have faith that everything is working together for good. Everything, without exception, like I was talking about in the class yesterday. So learning to be able to stand in that place takes practice. So one of the things about yoga, when I first started taking yoga, I learned a really great thing, and this this is one of the reasons why yoga is such a beautiful and powerful practice, is that if you start taking yoga, and if it's hard for you in the beginning, one of the things you notice is that, especially if you're doing something where you're holding the postures for a couple of breaths, and you realize, oh, this is challenging. Oh, I'm not really enjoying this. This is uncomfortable. This is not easy. This feels difficult. This is actually a little bit painful. And you're breathing through it. You're breathing through it. And the temptation of the ego mind is to say, I got to stop this. I can't do this. I got to get out of here. I can't hold this. This is not going to, no, this is, I don't like this. That temptation is very strong. But if you just keep breathing through that, then after you've been taking yoga for a while, what you notice is you have a stronger nervous system. So this is one of the things that many times people who are very nervous and anxious and who get upset very quickly and easily is they haven't ever had to really discipline themselves to take that breath, to be in the moment, to check in with spirit, to not identify with ego, but to say everything is working together for my good, all is well, there are no exceptions to that, I'm willing to see that, I'm willing to know that, and keep breathing, calling upon spirit to lead, guide, and support. But as we learn to practice that, we discover a sense of safety and security in spirit, in life, that previously seemed not to exist. But it was really because we were blocking the miracle-minded thoughts by, instead of being available for miraculous thoughts and insights and inspiration, we were focused on what we thought we knew. We were focused on the judgments, the opinions, the blame and the shame, the regret and the resentment, the hurt, the jealousy, the thoughts of revenge. If our mind goes to all those thoughts, it really means we're not thinking it's possible to live a miraculous life. So we have to simply begin to be interested in living a miraculous life and willing to practice it. So if you can imagine that your mind is just stuffed to overflowing with the meaning you've made of everything, with all those judgments and opinions, and so the miraculous thoughts of God, they're not of interest to you because your mind is already full. It's so full of the worry, the doubt, the fear, the judgment, the complaints, the blame, the shame, that it's not available for recognizing the miraculous thoughts. Now, I truly know that the miraculous thoughts of God are always there in the field, if you will. But if there's no room in our awareness to entertain them, we just won't recognize them. And remember, too, that like attacks like. So we can be miracle-minded or we can be attack-minded. So if we're judging, complaining, if we're worried and afraid, we're attack-minded. If we're being loving and compassionate and generous and kind without trying to get something in return, then we're going to be miracle-minded, because miracle-mindedness is loving-mindedness. So this is the number one thing about that we block the miracle with. It's the judgments and the opinions. So what you can do right now to activate a miraculous life of love is to make a decision that you are going to become actively aware of your judgments and start giving them to the Holy Spirit for healing. Start asking the angelic realm to walk with you and talk with you and help you to root out, ferret out the judgments and opinions that might be hidden that are actually running your life. So I'm going to just pause there and see if anybody has anything they'd like to ask about regarding that. And I'm going to see what people have written in here. So remember, we're going to stay on the topic here. Jeannie is asking, do you have any advice for me or a prayer I can give to the Holy Spirit to help me clear up my perception of scarcity and lack? Yes, I do. So the thing is and this, I'm not saying this is easy, but again, it's about making that decision and being willing to follow through. So the thing is we make the decision and then there are so many temptations. It's like if you decide, I'm not going to eat sugar anymore, suddenly everybody's baking pies and bringing them to your house. And everywhere you go, it's cotton candy and cookies and crackers that have sugar in them or whatever it is. So it's not about not giving up and staying committed. And if you just say, oh, I can't take it anymore, I've got to have those crackers, even though they have sugar in them. So you eat the crackers, but you don't have to eat the pie and go to the ice cream store afterwards. You see what I'm saying? So it's if you find yourself judging and complaining, course correct. Say, oh, okay, I got swept back into the land of fear, and now I'm remembering I can partner up with the Holy Spirit. I don't have to stay in the land of fear. I can come back to the land of true reality, which is perfect love. So the perception of scarcity and lack, it really comes from being attack-minded. It really comes from that. So all sense of scarcity and lack really comes from our beliefs, which are magnetizing into our awareness thoughts that are congruent. So it's a belief in, like you're saying, a perception of lack and scarcity that draws into our thoughts, draws into our mind the thoughts of scarcity and lack. Now, when you realize you're thinking thoughts of scarcity and lack, notice that they are opinions and judgments, because it's not our nature to live in lack and limitation. It is our nature to live unbounded and free, to be prosperous, to be in the flow of love. So one of the things that you can do is just if you start to notice you're feeling afraid, lack seems so real to you, give it away to the Holy Spirit. And this is what Jesus says in the Course over and over and over again. Call upon Him. Call upon Him. So the fear and the upset, He cannot take from you, because it's the fear and the upset that motivates you to actually do the work of clearing your mind. But what Jesus can help with is the circumstances, the causes. So just ask for help, seriously. Ask for help from the higher Holy Spirit self. Ask for help from Jesus and the angels. Now, there are a lot of spiritual teachings that don't say anything like that, but I'm telling you what I know works, and works quickly. Be willing to partner up and stop going it alone, because that's the thing that the ego is always looking for, the way to go it alone, and to or to get somebody else to help them. So instead of necessarily looking for somebody to just give you money, thinking that's going to relieve the problem, you know, money problems aren't about money. Money problems are about generally judgment and complaint. And another word for that, in A Course in Miracles terms, is unforgiveness. So all judgments are unforgiveness. And forgiveness is the key to freedom and to prosperity. Forgiveness is the key. Now, many people can be wealthy and seem to be prosperous. They may have lots of money, but if they're not happy, if they don't feel abundant and prosperous, chances are, just like people who don't have money, there's a lot of unforgiveness. There's a lot of judgment. There's a lot of criticism and blame. So that opens up the floodgates to be willing to let go of those kinds of thoughts. And just by letting them go, I'm talking about doing exactly the practice that I talked about in class yesterday, which is to say, Higher Holy Spirit Self, please take this thought out of my mind so I never think it again. I'm not interested in thinking this thought anymore. I am only interested in the thoughts I think with God, thoughts of love and joy, prosperity and peace, thoughts of my true nature, my true identity. I gratefully surrender all judgments and opinions. I stand in the truth that sets me free. I'm grateful and thankful to seek the kingdom first rather than my opinions and judgments. I seek the kingdom first, knowing that all else will be added unto me. Now, all else being added unto me means that when we stop blocking the miracle, we realize it's natural for us to be in the flow of prosperity and healing and wholeness and freedom and joy. And it's always been natural for us. I want to mention that if you're on the phone, star 2 to raise your hand. If you're on the web call, you can also star 2 on your keypad to raise your hand if you have a question related to the topic here. I have seen people working these tools, like the ones I share in Finding Freedom, people working these tools. What I have found is that people who are in situations, like even people who are in a situation where their marriage seems to be falling apart, long-term marriage, it's very devastating, very depressing. It seems like you can't really recover from that because of things that have been said and done. But one person being able to hold the space of love and to give up the judgments and opinions and to stand in that, which is not easy to do. Again, judgments and opinions may come up all day, but being able to keep offering them and offering them to the Holy Spirit for healing. One person in the marriage being able to do that can make such a difference. I've seen people who were in the process of a divorce where it was ugly, that things cleared up and got quite beautiful. In fact, I saw that with Gary Renard. I had dinner with him a number of times when he was going through his divorce, and it was very difficult for him and his former wife. And, of course, it all ended with miraculous healing and peace and harmony because people were willing to actually practice and live A Course in Miracles. And I've worked with people who were going through divorce, who decided to be steadfast for the sake of their own happiness and that of their children and their family, that they were going to practice non-judgment all the way through the divorce proceeding, even though they didn't want to get divorced, even though it was devastating, it felt so hurtful, it brought up all their stuff, deep, deep pain. I've seen them, in fact, I've seen people who had the divorce papers in their hands. Their spouse then suddenly says, you know what, I don't want to get divorced. Let's get back together instead. A miracle. But it happened in the change of mind. It happened in the change of mind before it happens in form. So we change our mind and we're willing to think the thoughts of God no matter what. And even though we find ourselves traveling into the land of judgment, when we start to feel upset, we say, oh, I went the wrong direction. That way madness lies. I'm coming back to myself. I'm back to the Holy Spirit. And I'm grateful and thankful to do that. Grateful and thankful to do that. Ask So I'm just checking here on things that have been written in. Dolores asks, is the forgiveness forgiveness of self? So A Course in Miracles tells us that all forgiveness is self-forgiveness. All forgiveness is self-forgiveness. And we don't know what anything is for. So when we're in judgment, we're thinking we know what things are for. And even someone's sudden death or suicide can be something that we think, you know, I can't make sense of this. This was wrong. This shouldn't have happened. This was bad. We don't know. Until we can see through all directions of time and space, we just don't know. In the class the other day with Patricia Cuddle-Robles, she was talking about the massacre in Orlando. And what she was saying is, from a spiritual perspective, that everyone who participated, all the people who seemed to be victims, were actually bringing forth this energetic for us to open our hearts in compassion. And so that true healing could happen. And I've seen a lot of healing happen because of that Orlando massacre, where people who couldn't talk with their families, talking with their families. Politicians and people who would never have spoken about that issue now speaking out with love and compassion. So we don't know what anything is for, but everything works together for our good, and there are no exceptions. If we start making exceptions, then we're in judgment and opinion, and then we are not going to be available for a miraculous life. All right. So I'm just looking at questions that are related to the topic here today. So someone is asking about how they can trust. And it doesn't matter what area of life that we're wondering how we can trust. Can I trust my spouse? Can I trust my business partner? Can I trust God? All issues of doubt are self-doubt. All issues of doubt are self-doubt. And that is definitely one of the ways that we block the miracle, is through doubt. A doubt is always a judgment. Every single doubt that we have is a judgment. So we place our faith in God and not in our own opinions and judgments. And I'm just going to pull something from the course here. I'm going to quote it correctly. Give me just a moment. Oh, I know it's here. It's worth waiting for. Oh, let's see here. So it's in the Manual for Teachers, the section entitled, Should Healing Be Repeated? And it talks about doubt. And it says, one of the most difficult temptations to recognize is that to doubt a healing because of the appearance of continuing symptoms is a mistake in the form of lack of trust. And it says that love without trust is impossible, and doubt and trust cannot coexist. So all doubt is self-doubt. And it says, perhaps there is a fear of weakness and vulnerability. Perhaps there is a fear of failure and shame associated with a sense of inadequacy. Perhaps there is a guilty embarrassment stemming from false humility. This is very common. with spiritual students a sense of false humility. It says, what is important is only the recognition of a mistake as a mistake. So the form of the mistake is not important. It doesn't matter what kind of doubt it is. It doesn't matter what kind of judgment it is. All judgment is doubt. All doubt is judgment. And when we're in doubt, can we experience miracles? No, we're blocking the miracle with the doubt. So how do you trust is what you're asking. You're saying, how may I release the fear that someone is asking, how do I release the fear that if I take steps, will I be supported? Will it work for me? The thing is most of us are blocking the miracle because we're thinking that we're going to be given signs in the world of form. And that if we don't see it showing up in form, we're going to think it's not happening. And that's what Jesus is telling us here. Don't ever doubt that the miracle is occurring just because you don't see it in the world of form yet. This is a deep practice. This is not for someone who just started spiritual practice yesterday. This is really deep, and we can do it, and we can do it together. So that's why having a Course in Miracles study group, having a group of people that you're walking this walk with, and that you're not just talking about it, you're actively practicing it, and you're sharing about the active practice of it. You're recognizing when you fall down and when you get up again. Having faith is something that we discover through trusting. So we keep trusting and we keep trusting and we keep trusting and we keep trusting. And we only place our trust in God. If we're placing our trust and faith in other people's egos, that's not a good idea. So we have to place our faith in God. The light of God can never fail. So one of the reasons why people have doubt and don't trust, remember all doubt is self-doubt. One of the reasons why people doubt and don't trust is because their commitment is not strong. And it's because they honestly don't think they have what it takes. And many people will sabotage themselves by making decisions to trust in other people's egos so that it seems like other people let them down when it's really themselves that they don't trust. Many people say, oh, I'd like to have this expansive life of miracles. I'd like to have this life of prosperity and love and beauty and truth and to live this life of joy. But the thing is that when you really take a closer look, many people, you discover that the minute they feel threatened, they're starting to lash out. They're going into attack. They're collapsing into doubt. They're not willing to have trust. They're not willing to be compassionate. They're not willing to be patient, kind, and generous, respectful, and honoring. And they're just not willing. Their mind just goes right to, see, I knew it would never work. So that's why I started my Finding Freedom Boot Camp, because that's how I was. And I made this decision to really be in this place of commitment. And that even though I might fall down in being loving and be unkind or judgmental or attacking, that as soon as I noticed what was happening, I would wake up, smell that spiritual espresso, and I would turn and go the other way, and I would call upon the Holy Spirit to help me. And so I began to practice that with more and more diligence and vigilance and willingness and dedication day by day, and that's what transformed my life. That's what transformed my life. I want to see if there's anyone on the line who's on the phone maybe or can write in who has taken Finding Freedom. We've got some hands raised. I'm just going to lower them for a minute. Anybody who's taken Finding Freedom, who's done this work, who's experienced miraculous healing and changes, who might be able to say a few words for someone who feels like, I just don't know if I can do this. Anybody have been doing this work with me and can say it works? Who might raise their hand? Star 2 to raise your hand if you'd like to be able to make that share to inspire others. Okay, well, nobody's raising their hand, so maybe people aren't able to raise their hand right now. I've got so many stories I can tell you of people who have had amazing and miraculous experiences. Maybe just no one's on the line right now who has taken Finding Freedom and can speak to this. So I want to tell you a couple of other things here about three things you can do now to activate your miraculous life of love and stop blocking the miracle. So we've got release of judgment and accepting that doubt is another form of judgment. So if you're doubting that you can do this, if you're doubting that you don't have what it takes, if you're doubting other people, all doubt is self-doubt. And so you can give that doubt to the Holy Spirit and say, I'm not going to entertain this doubt. The light of God can never fail, and that is what I am. So this is a big turn for a lot of people to be able to say that. It's a really big turn for a lot of people because we have such a low opinion of ourselves sometimes. We just don't want to make that commitment. Now, trust is something that we do moment by moment in time and space. And this is really the third thing that we can do here to stop blocking the miracle. It's to have that trust and faith. So we're giving up judgments, we're giving up doubt, and we are having trust. So how do you have trust when you feel so afraid? Well, this is a really important thing for everyone to know and understand, is that your sense of fear comes from the judgment. It comes from the judgment. We think that fear comes based on our past. We think that fear comes from what's happening in circumstances. But the truth is, fear is the direct result of thinking attack thoughts. Because attack thoughts are fearful thoughts, and as soon as we start thinking them, we're going to feel afraid. And Barbara's raising her hand here, so I'm going to unmute you, Barbara. Hey, Barbara.
Hi, Jennifer. It's Barbara Siegel.
Yeah, good to hear your voice.
Well, it's always wonderful to hear your teachings. And so I did want to call in and talk about taking the Finding Freedom class, which I did a year ago. I'm not quite sure.
Yeah, last summer, I think.
Yeah, so I was listening to one of these calls, and I remember feeling, do it. Don't go ask your husband, because it'll become a money question. And so I did it, and then I went and told him. And, you know, Jennifer, I was thinking as you were talking, did I feel the difference 2 months in or 3 weeks in or whatever it was? You know, a steady drip will fill the sink as well as if we turn the faucet on. And maybe for me it's been more of the drip, drip, drip. But I hear your voice in my head all the time, and I do some teaching and I do counseling, and I'm often saying, well, Jennifer Hadley said da-da-da-da-da, and I'm recommending you to students. And so I'm saying this because in retrospect, I'm realizing what an impact the steady drip has had on me. Taking the class, I remember watching the videos several times and taking notes. They were wonderful videos. But then it's in there. And, you know, did I come away and I never had judgments, opinions, or feelings of inadequacy, which would be my big thing? No, I can't say that. I wouldn't say that. But I will say that I'm in the process. And I thought about this as you were talking. And I'm in the process of writing a book on the Course of Miracles. And an aspect to my knowledge no one else has done, making affirmations that apply to each lesson. Mm-hmm. And I've actually done it for every lesson, and I'm in the process of typing it up and adding some things. And, you know, it occurred to me, what if I hadn't taken the classes? Would I be writing the book? Mm-hmm. And I don't know. I'd be real honest. I don't know. But I know that taking the classes, clearing whatever it is I cleared, listening to what I heard, having it, you know, be there, using some of the terms, the higher Holy Spirit self, I use that one all the time. So, it all comes together, okay? That's what I would say. So is there anything you want to ask me? I hope I'm saying that so that it's clear.
Do you feel that your life is more loving now?
I feel my life is much more loving and much more loving of myself. I feel that I'm much more aware. I'm aware when I still have lots of judgments and opinions. It's a political season, and I'm like, oh, my gosh, Jennifer, how do we deal with that? And I just thought, because whatever, bring love to it. Bring love, bring blessings, bring love. And I also feel that I have a lot less guilt. And that's another thing that really blocks miracles.
Yes.
Guilt. Mm-hmm. And so that's my answer to that question.
Yeah, I appreciate that. So, and do you feel like it's improved your relationships in any way?
Well, you know, when you can bring... Okay, I'll put it in the I form. Yes. There's the short answer. Yes. You know, I'm much more patient with the person that God put in my life to test my patience, my husband. I don't have children at home anymore, so he's my main one. And they see how much more patient I am, how much more forgiving I am, and how much more I can look at something and think, boy, that's really irritating. And then I think, well, you do that. That it's just a mirror. He's not different than me. And just appreciate that I'm just, and maybe sometimes maybe it's a little exaggeration, but then I really get the picture.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
That's wonderful. That's it right there. And when we're more loving, when we're more patient, when we're listening to guidance more fully and completely, we just feel better about ourselves. All the time.
Yeah. And the other thing I say is, you know, I also do some spiritual counseling, and people will, my most frequently asked question is, well, or comment or complaint is, I just can't hear the Holy Spirit. I can't. Show me how. And I think you're saying it very well in the classes I've been able to listen to so far and what you're saying today and what you've taught, that if you feel at peace, you heard the voice. It's not like a booming voice is going to come out and say, you know, in 15 minutes, be dressed and go to the store, particularly. Maybe for someone it might. But maybe you think, maybe in 15 minutes I'll go to the store. And then you, or I, kind of feel, am I at peace about that, or am I feeling anxious about that? And if I'm feeling sort of anxious or something, then I have to say, why aren't I at peace? And usually it's because I'm going to the store instead of maybe doing what you were talking about at the beginning, working on the decision I made to take an hour and write today. And so maybe I should take the hour and write and then go to the store. But for me, it can be more of that feeling than kind of, you know, sometimes I hear something, so to speak, but usually if you trust that feeling, and you've talked about that a lot, you'll know what's right and what isn't right. So
yeah, I so appreciate you sharing that, Barbara. And I think it's worth pointing out here that you've studied A Course in Miracles for a long time. Do you feel like doing the Finding Freedom Boot Camp help you to more fully live A Course in Miracles?
Yes. I honestly feel, and I mean this from the bottom of my heart, I honestly feel that every time I listen to you and your teachings or watch a video or, you know, go look at some notes or something, it reminds me, live it. Don't just read it. Don't just be academic and intellectual. Go live it. And so certainly the having the concentration of the class and everything was very good, because it the intensity, it's not that it's intense, you know, but I mean the consistency maybe of carrying through the class and doing the activities and living it and remembering has, you know, been really helpful. And I always love when your classes come, living A Course in Miracles, because Course in Miracles students often are kind of, you know, nerdy about Course in Miracles.
Yeah.
And we can get into our heads instead of into our hearts.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes, yes. Thank you so much.
Well, thank you. Thank you. And lots of love to everyone on the line. And you, of course. Thanks, Jennifer.
Yes. Love to you, Barbara. Well, that's There you go. She's sharing there, and I would like to just say, Claire wrote in. She says, "Hi Jennifer, I tried to start too, but I don't think you saw it. I don't know. I think maybe the system isn't working properly today. Maybe it's just got some tech problems here." She says, "I want to say to everyone, it absolutely works, and I feel my life has been transformed in a lasting way. Jennifer has given me the tools to do it, to love and forgive myself, and in doing so, I've seen changes in so many people and circumstances in my life, children, ex-spouse, romantic relationships, work. I am so grateful." And Claire, maybe you can just write in what your phone number is. And then if you write it in the box, then I can see which one you are, and I can just unmute you, and you can share in a little bit. I've got people writing in, can you just tell us about the boot camp now? So I'm going to do that, and then I'm going to come back and take some more questions and comments. So one of the things I'd like to share with you about my Finding Freedom Boot Camp is that this is not about behavior modification or self-improvement. It's not that. Because we've all tried self-improvement and behavior modification, and it doesn't often stick, right? So self-improvement is coming at ourselves from this place of thinking that there's something wrong with us that needs to be fixed. And that is not actually very helpful. It's just an affirmation that we've got problems. So that is not what this is about. This is about really opening our heart and mind with a spiritual practice that works. So, like I said before, for many years I was buying books and tapes and CDs and taking classes and going to retreats and workshops without ever developing an effective spiritual practice. So what changed everything for me is that I made the decision to dedicate myself to a disciplined spiritual program, and I was willing to hold myself accountable. Now, that was the hardest thing I ever did in my whole life, truly. The very hardest thing, and at times it was really excruciating for me. And I would have loved to have had people who were interested in the same thing as me to do it with me. But I had lots of friends and prayer partners, but they weren't interested in the same level of willingness and really doing this. They weren't as interested in it as me. So I felt in many ways that I was doing it on my own. And so once I really got to a place of feeling mostly peaceful, where I say like a tipping point, I felt a discernible tipping point. Once I got there, then my teacher said, "Jennifer, so few people find this roadmap. You have found the roadmap. You've got to start telling people about it." And I had so many miraculous experiences of deep, lasting healing that I decided to create this Finding Freedom class. In fact, I was guided to it. And initially I called it Family Freedom because I had so much healing in my family and my family relationships, which were so challenging to me. And so that's how we started out, and people in the class immediately started having healings in their relationships, amazing, miraculous healings. And so I've been doing this Finding Freedom class since 2008, and I really love the way that I offer it now. And so what it is it's a truly effective workout program for you to develop a spiritual practice that works for you to get your heart and mind in shape so that your heart and mind are going in the same direction. Have you ever felt like, oh, I just want to be more loving? Gosh, why can't I be more loving? Why can't I just be a little more patient? Why do I have to say those things and do those things? Why do I have to run away? Why do I have to retreat? Why can't I just be loving? And that's how I used to feel all the time. And so this boot camp helps us to understand why it's so hard and to eliminate those causes at the root cause. So it's kind of like what happens with a lot of people who are reading books and all that stuff is it's like you get a gym membership, but you never really work out. You just go to the gym and you wear your great outfit and you're looking fantastic, and you've got your outfit, you look good, you're at the gym, you've got the new shoes, but you never actually break a sweat. You never actually work out. So reading books and taking classes without the practical application part, that's how we create all this clutter. So one of the questions that was written in is, how do we get all this clutter that we've accumulated out of our mind? And it's through this discipline that I'm talking about. One of my teachers, Michael Beckwith, he calls it a blissipline. And I really like that, because that's one of the things I see with people in Finding Freedom, is they start to have this enthusiasm for doing the healing, clearing work, instead of feeling disappointed and bad and wrong every time they notice something that is coming up for healing. They start to go, woohoo, I can clear that, I can clear that, I'm doing my healing. And that's what I started to do, is instead of going, oh my God, I'm such a loser, I can't believe I'm having that thought again, I just started to go, I'm having a healing, that thought's coming up for healing again, and I'm having a healing now. And I'm not taking any other point of view on it. This is for my healing, and I'm glad it's coming up. I wouldn't want it to be hidden from my mind. And, you know, going back to that metaphor of boot camp and getting in shape, did you know that if your muscles are in good shape and you're working out and strengthening them on a regular basis, even when you're resting, your muscles will be burning more calories? That's right. Your metabolism is going to be burning more calories than the person who doesn't work out at all and is out of shape, even if you're both sitting there on the same couch watching TV. So it's kind of like this. If your mind is sharp from spiritual practice, then you're not experiencing the interference of running those old false beliefs and negative patterns in the same way. Then you're able to clearly recognize your intuition, your insights, and make decisions based on that, which hugely increases your ability to live a life of peace, harmony, and prosperity. When you're not constantly being distracted, detoured, and derailed by getting on the pain train of old negative programming and false beliefs, then you can make real spiritual progress, so that you're not just falling into the same black hole of judgment, blame, shame, regret, resentment, and guilt again and again and again. Did you ever see the movie Groundhog Day, where Bill Murray, he steps into that big pile of slush, or the big hole with the slush in it, over and over and over again, right? That was me. That's what I was feeling. And I just did it so many times, over and over and over again. So this is the point of being in the boot camp, is that you develop spiritual discipline to do the work. And here are the pieces that I give you in the Finding Freedom Boot Camp. And it's all designed to help you develop a committed spiritual practice that works for you, so that you will be changed. So Barbara is talking about, she did the boot camp last year. She's still feeling the effects of it. And she had done a lot of training before she did the boot camp. So the different pieces of the boot camp are this. It's a group energy. That's part of it. So people who are basically a lot like you, like me, we're doing it together. And in the boot camp, you get all these different pieces. So one of them is you get a workbook. In the workbook, there are places where you will write. You can answer questions to help you get to the bottom of what your beliefs are, so that you can recognize them operating in your everyday life. There are practices of writing for you to help you forever release guilt, disappointment, regret, blame, shame, jealousy, many of these patterns that just keep recycling and recycling and recycling. There are specific exercises for you to use to release them. Another aspect of the course is that you get 50 videos, approximately 50 videos, because I'm adding new ones and things like that. And these 50 videos, some of them are just a few minutes, some of them are maybe 17, 18, 19 minutes. These videos are to help you really understand these different tools and tips that I'm giving you in the boot camp. Some people are very visual. They really like the videos. Barbara was talking about the videos. Now, the core of the class is 7 audio classes. The 7 audio classes have been pre-recorded. I've done the class many, 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 many times. And the pre-recorded audios that are there right now were recorded in the fall of last year. Every time I record them, they're better, richer, deeper, more beautiful than they were before because my mind is constantly opening. And I give you a bonus class at the start. So we're going to start on August 11th, and I'm going to give you a bonus class for that. Now, I also give you the weekly Sacred Circle. That's my spiritual counseling call. In my weekly Sacred Circle, I'm there with you live every week, and you can ask me any question you like. Any question you like at all. Anything that is your personal issue, we'll talk about it. You will get time with me one-on-one in that Sacred Circle call. It's a group call, but you can ask me your specific question. If you can't be there live on the call with me, you can write it in. I'll answer it. You'll get the download later. So you get those weekly Q&A calls with me where you can ask me any question about anything for 90 days. And you know what I'm going to say right now? I've not said this before, but if you sign up now the class is going to begin August 11th. So with the bonus class, that bonus class will be live. But anybody who signs up before then, I'll give you there are, I think, 2 Sacred Circles between now and then as a bonus. So I'll give you 2 extra weeks of Sacred Circle if you sign up now, just because, hey, let's just start right now. And I'll also send you the workbook so you can get started in the workbook, all right? So I'll give you 2 extra weeks to have all these pieces and to have the workbook and the Sacred Circle to get you started. And another aspect of the Finding Freedom is the Facebook group. We have an awesome Facebook group. It's really beautiful. It's very supportive. And in the Facebook group, you can ask questions. You can make comments. You can share. Also in the classes and the audios, there are guided meditations that you can use. Another thing that's part of this class is you get a money-back guarantee. So sometimes people are really afraid to make a commitment because they're afraid to fail. Now, I know that the light of God never fails, spirit never fails, but sometimes it feels like we do. I'm willing to help you be a success. I'm willing to meet you every week in Sacred Circle. I'm willing to really go to it with you, and you'll find that I really mean that. So I'm interested in you having a breakthrough. So if you have felt like a failure in the past, let's clear out that pattern of feeling like a failure. But if you do everything in the boot camp and it doesn't work for you, I'll give you your money back. That's my guarantee to you. If you do the work and it does not work for you, I have such confidence that it will work for you. And I'm very willing to give you a money back guarantee. You do the work, it doesn't work for you, you can have your money back if you'd like it. Now, one of the things too is if you would like a payment plan, that's not a problem. We do all kinds of payment plans. We have payment plans set up. If those don't work for you, if you needed an extended payment plan, we'll find an extended payment plan that works for you. We are totally committed. I am totally committed. Now, sometimes people can say, whoa, I don't know if I can get the whole boot camp done in 90 days. People used to do it in 7 weeks. So I'm giving you 90 days so you don't feel pressured in the 7 weeks. But if after 90 days you say, oh, I still want to be part of the Sacred Circle. Oh, I still want to have access to the videos. You can do that for only $22 a month. Only $22 a month. The Sacred Circle on its own is $33 a month. So it's like getting access to the Finding Freedom curriculum continuously for $22 a month and getting the Sacred Circle as a bonus. I'm doing it that way to encourage you to keep at it and to stay with it. And if you feel any kind of a sense of, oh, I don't think I can go out on my own, you've still got those weekly calls with me week after week in the Sacred Circle. So it's a tremendous amount of support. The curriculum is clear. It's clearly outlined of specific tips and tools how to release the judgment, how to release the guilt, how to stop choosing fear, how to move out of lack and attack thinking, step by step by step. I think that's one of the nicest things I really like about it. I wish somebody had created that for me where I could just go in and follow it step by step and I didn't have to figure it out on my own, because that's what it felt like to me. It felt so much like I was trying to make my way in the dark, trying to figure out what to do next, and reading all these books and taking all these classes and feeling confused about what would really work. So I think that's one of the great things about Finding Freedom is you just work this tool, you work that tool, you see that they work, you feel that they work, and you get inspired, you do the next one and the next one and the next one, and you just work your way through the curriculum at your own pace. And there's lots of love and support for you every single step of the way. So most of you should have a button there on the webpage if you're listening online. If you're on the phone or something like that, you can just go to jenniferhadley.com/FindingFreedom, or you can just go to the events page at jenniferhadley.com and click through to Finding Freedom. And you can read about it there, and you can read what other people have said about it. In fact, one of the things I'm going to do is I'm going to play a testimonial from someone who was in the class last year and happened to do a class with me, so we have a recorded testimonial, and I have excerpted it here, and I'm going to play it for you now, and then I'm going to come back and answer any questions that you have in the rest of the time that we have. So here we go. I'd like for you to meet Christy, who's currently taking Finding Freedom. She just started in June, so she's in the middle of her 90-day experience, but I'd like you to hear from someone who's really applying these tools, someone who's like you and who's doing the work and seeing the results. So, Christy, I think this is you raising your hand here.
Hi, how are you?
I'm so good. How are you?
I'm wonderful. Thanks.
So thank you for being willing to share something about your experience. So let me ask you a couple of questions. When you started Finding Freedom, what is it you really hoped to get out of the class? How were you feeling?
I was just bottomed out. I felt numb. I almost felt like I needed someone to just tell me what to do every single day. I really just needed a step-by-step guide that made it simple, because I tend to overanalyze.
Yeah, that's me. See, like attracts like. No, really. I used to overanalyze everything, and then I just would be crippled by it.
Yes. I felt paralyzed. I was in a state of depression. I felt numbed out. And I would say I was cycling in and out of periods of depression, probably situational depression, but I really couldn't get a grip on what it meant to be happy. I had set up external conditions for happy, being thin, being rich, being happily married, and having a great career. I can't be happy unless I have those four things, and everything has to be shiny and sparkly. And I just felt like I was chasing impossibility. I felt hollow, and I was really, I mean, your story about just saying, help me now, that's really where I was. And I do feel that it was divine synchronicity that I came across your radio show on Unity FM and was doing a lot of driving throughout the Southeast. And really, the minute I started listening to you, something resonated deeply. I must have listened to 15 or 20 hours of your radio show programs, your archived programs. And when I saw that you had Finding Freedom, a spiritual boot camp coming up for enrollment, I thought, you know what, this is it. Like something just clicked the way you described it. And it has been tremendous.
And so what is the actual difference that you're feeling? Like you just wrote, we have our Finding Freedom Facebook group where we ask for prayers and we share what's going on, our ahas, our insights, our challenges. And what would you say that you're noticing are tangible, really tangible results that you're having in your life now?
Well, yeah, I shared today, and it's so rare for me to share on Facebook, but in the Finding Freedom Facebook group, there's just a sense of, I mean, I never share anything personal on Facebook. I'm an attorney, and so I have all this paranoid thinking about putting stuff out there, but I shared in the group today that I'm just having these electrifying moments of hope that I'm waking up from a nightmare that my ego created. And, you know, I'm 46, and when I was 22, I started studying A Course in Miracles. I only studied it for 2 years before I went into law school. Really created just a chaotic lifestyle for myself as a litigator, was never at peace. And I've been through every single self-help program. I even became a certified life coach in 2012, thinking, well, I'll just go pro with self-improvement, positive development, you know, working on my mind.
Mm-hmm.
After eight weeks of doing Finding Freedom every single day, I love the Mastery Journal. The tools, I'm using almost every single one of them every day. I love being able to turn to the prayers inside and to have that accountability. The videos are amazing. Listening to the class audios again and again, and I'm just like a thirsty sponge, and I will say that I'm calmer. I feel a sense of hope that I'm not living in, you know, in the rat race. And my major issue has been self-hatred, self-loathing. I kept feeling like, oh, I've really screwed up my whole life. And there is a sense that you are peeling off layers, that you are like breaking the chains and becoming free. It's hard to put into words, but I love analogies, and one analogy is that I feel like I'm standing inside of a basket in a hot air balloon, and the balloon is just rising higher and higher, and I'm getting a better and better, more beautiful perspective, and I'm remembering who I really am, and it's not the ego. So this, I would say that in Finding Freedom, it's all of the tools and more, and you just apply them, you just... Little by little, day by day, I have that sense of excitement that it doesn't feel like drudgery. It feels like I can't wait to see what my daily affirmation is. I can't wait to see what my lesson is. You know, what am I going to do here to free myself? There's just a sense of excitement.
Beautiful. Thank you so much. Because I think it's really valuable, Christy, for people to hear from someone who's having the experience, real person, and everybody has their own unique experience. So sometimes people take the class and they might listen to everything, watch all the videos before they open the workbook and start to do any of the work. And some people will just go step by step through the workbook. But what I know is if you follow the steps, it really does lead you into experiencing more and more freedom. And I hear you saying that that's been your experience.
Yes, absolutely. So I'm so grateful. It's one of those things where it is helping me establish a whole new way of being. I had to go spend 8 days on a family vacation with 10 family members in a cabin, and I thought, oh, there's no way I'm going to be able to make it through this. So many things came up for healing, and I had my mastery journal with me the whole time, so it was wonderful.
Oh, I'm so glad to hear that because, you know, when I first did the Finding Freedom class, I called it Family Freedom. That was back in 2008 because I had so much healing in my family. And then I changed the name to Finding Freedom because then it just opened it up to more people who had different kinds of issues. And I realized, well, it applies to everything. But I think that that's one of the greatest benefits for a lot of people who take the Finding Freedom class, and even who just do the 7 simple steps of interrupting the patterns of fear, is that they can have a different experience with their family. And they can do the work themselves and realize that, oh my God, if I change my mind, the world really does change, including my family.
Mm-hmm. Yes, that was my experience.
Beautiful. Thank you. Thank you so much for taking the time to be with me now and to share with the group. I really appreciate it, Christy.
You're so welcome.
All right. So that was Christy sharing her experience while she was in the Finding Freedom boot camp. And she's doing great. Yes, she is. I've talked to her recently. And one thing I realized that I forgot to say is what is the cost of the boot camp? So it's $397, and that includes all the different pieces, and I have some special gifts that I won't tell you about that you'll get as part of it when you get your workbook. And I'd like to leave those as a surprise. And again, we can do any kind of a payment plan that you like. So it's $397 plus the cost of shipping the workbook, whatever that is. It's different to depending on where you are in the world. Now, we've got more questions that people have written in. And let's see. Oh, I see you there, Claire. Okay, I'm going to unmute Claire, and she can just share a minute here while and if you still want to share something, a question for now on how to stop blocking the miracle, you can raise your hand with a star too, and I will take some of the written questions in. So, hey, Claire.
Hi, Jennifer.
Hi.
Hi. Can you hear me okay?
I hear you great. Hi. You're in Zurich. Thanks.
I'm in Zurich, Switzerland, yeah. And so proof that you can do this wherever you are in the world.
Mm-hmm.
When you asked for testimonials, I just feel so positive about this program that I would recommend it for anyone and everyone. And I think what I want to say about it, it's not, you do have to do the work. It's not easy. It's not just to kind of click your fingers and it happens. But what I felt was at the beginning, you kind of have to take a leap of faith that if you just do the things, you will see the results. And by about halfway through, you realize you don't need the faith anymore because you know that it's working because you're already seeing. I think it was Christy that you just played the recording of. I mean, I think what she said, you feel calmer. You feel like the way people in your life are responding to you. It's as if that thing you say about there being no private thoughts, it's mm-hmm. as if they actually pick up that you are not judging them, or at least you don't have the intention of judging them anymore. Even if you do still, I mean, things still come up all the time. But, you know, they seem to pick up on that change in you. So it's been great for me.
And what are some of the just the very tangible benefits that seem miraculous to you?
Tangible benefits, actual examples in my life?
Yeah, relationships.
Yeah, so I'm divorced, and I've been divorced for a few years, but it's been really quite difficult with my ex-husband. We all seem to be in conflict, whatever conversations, there's still a lot of anger and blame about. And about halfway through finding freedom, I just realized that this was something that I had to face up to, and it was my responsibility to make the decision to end this conflict. Even if he didn't know anything about it, I was going to stop it. And I think that point about taking responsibility for the things in your life is so important, because I'd gone through, so I'm 41, I would say, for at least 25 years of the same problem showing up in my life, and I had always blamed them on circumstances, blamed them on other people. And just before I joined Finding Freedom, another relationship had broken up, and I just, you know, it was the choice was either, I just realized it was me, I had to do something, and I was either going to just completely break down or go into therapy. And at that point, you were talking about finding freedom, and you said you will know if it's right for you. And I've been listening to your radio show for a while, so I'd heard you talking about it before, and I never really felt like I needed to do it. But at that point, I thought, yeah, that's it. I'm doing it. I'll get nothing. You know, there's kind of nothing left to lose. I just have to, anyway. And so when I first made that decision about the ending the conflict with my ex-husband, I actually went through a week where it got much worse from his side. There was a lot of anger, a lot of blame, messages sent, and horrible phone calls. And it was I really appreciated the support in the group and from you, Jennifer, about saying, it will get better. Hang in there. You know, this is normal. I think one of your videos talks about that, the spiraling upwards. And that is so helpful, because you're not expected in Finding Freedom, you're not expected to just keep getting better, better, better every day. So it's not that emphasis always on results. You see the results, but then sometimes you have bad days and you slip back and you think, and then you really have to start, you know, put it into practice again. Remember, it's a boot camp. It's the exercise. You have to put the work in. And then gradually something happens. You think, you've moved up another level. And it's just given you more evidence. If you weren't really fully trusting that it was going to work when you started, it just gives you more evidence again. And the other huge benefit for me, when I started it, I felt completely alone. So being a single mother in a country where I don't have family around, that was practically, I felt very alone, and emotionally I felt very alone as well. And I've come out of it realizing that really what you told me in one of the first calls, you're never alone. And I started with that in affirmation to be willing to know that. And now I don't have to be willing anymore. I absolutely know it, because in the one day retreat that I did, I was in constant conversation with spirit, with my higher self, and now I feel like I just have to ask, and the answer's there, and it's fantastic, and I just, yeah, definitely.
Wow.
Yay.
Well, I definitely have walked this with you and seen you not give up and keep applying, and your willingness. And, you know, A Course in Miracles tells us our little willingness is all that's required. And having, even a little willingness many days is not easy.
But even the little, even if you have it that tiny bit, and that thing that you teach about being willing to be willing, or to be willing to be more willing, it so works. I've gone through days where I've really, you know, I say it to myself in numbers, or I'm 1% willing today, but I am that tiny bit. And then by later in the afternoon or the next day, it's like, well, actually, I'm up at 20%, and this is getting easier. So just letting the tiny spark into your heart, the fire builds quite quickly. It's amazing, actually.
And how are things now with your ex?
Last week I went over to his apartment to drop something off, and it started raining. And I was on my bicycle, so I couldn't leave. And we sat, we had half an hour really pleasant conversation with the kids there. And then we've managed since then, again, he came around he dropped the kids off today. And I feel like we're able to communicate. I feel like he understands now that I'm not his enemy anymore. And I'm not trying to undermine him or attack him. And that's without me saying, I haven't said anything like that to him, but I think he feels the difference, mm-hmm. and everything's more relaxed. Yeah.
That's what we call working in the invisible.
Yeah.
Working in the invisible instead of trying to push form and push density and make it happen. We do the healing at the level of the mind, and then we see the miraculous results in form.
Yeah. And it was, you know, I did a lot of work on forgiving myself for the divorce,
mm-hmm.
and I think I finally got there, and I mm-hmm. feel like then I also felt that forgiveness from outside, and I really understood what you meant about that being at the level of the mind. It's when you start treating yourself differently, other people also treat you differently, and yeah, it's hard to grasp. It's hard to understand logically, but when you feel the results, then you don't really have to understand it logically, because it just works. Just works.
It's true. Only the ego doesn't understand it. Yeah, sure, it always does.
And just not to take up too much time, but just the last thing that I wanted to say was so useful was the focus on what you would like and not what you don't want. And I've used that in work. Actually, I had a difficult meeting I had to go into, and I was worried about it. And I went into the ladies' room, and I just said, look, how would you like this to go? What would you like to happen? How would you like to feel during the meeting? How would you like to feel afterwards? And it has helped so much. It was so, instead of worrying about what was going to go wrong. And the meeting went great. And that's only one example, but it's happened a lot. It's happened several times. And you just, if you remember to stop that, the pattern, to stop the thinking, if you can get in there, and that's what takes the practice to get in there at the right time, but you know, it comes with practice.
Indeed, it does. Well, thank you so much for sharing all these examples, Clara.
You're welcome.
It's inspiring to us all, because we think we can't do it. We think it's too hard. But like you're saying, it's just that willingness to actually do the work makes the difference.
Yeah, and your encouragement and others that have gone, that have done it, that say, come, you can do it. I know you can. That's so important as well.
It is.
And I've renewed my membership now, because I don't want to. I want to keep it going, so you'll see me around.
Oh, great. Aww.
Thank you, Jennifer.
Thank you, Claire. God bless you and your family.
Thank you.
All right. So now I'm going to jump to as many questions as I can here. We've got M writing in. How do you choose which area to focus on applying when you have immersed yourself in so many books, teachings, classes, etc.? What is your advice on the best way to declutter your mind that is scattered with too many unapplied tools, practices, teachings, etc.? How to choose only one? The one I would recommend to start with is lesson 68 of A Course in Miracles, which is love holds no grievances. Whenever we hold grievances, we will think that we're not who we really are. We'll think that we are not one with God or one with our brothers and sisters, that we're separate and alone and on our own. So to me, that's the one practice. Just really do that one practice well. Hold no grievances. Give all the grievances to the Holy Spirit. Let the Holy Spirit do the heavy lifting. Because when you're sincerely willing to let them go, and I talked about this in yesterday's class on healing relationships, when you're really willing to let them go, then they can actually be taken off of you. So people will say, how am I going to ever let this go? It's our willingness is what is required. And when we're sincerely willing, saying, I don't need these judgments, these thoughts anymore, that's when the miracle happens. Because then our mind is open for miracles because it's not cluttered with a judgment anymore. Robin asks, is it judgment to turn away from someone who treats you poorly or is abusive? When should we forgive and not judge, and when is it okay to turn away? We should always forgive. Forgiveness is always the way. Non-judgment is always the way. And in terms of turning away, when you say turn away, I think if you listen to the relationship healing classes, that will be very helpful to you. And the many, many times I've done relationship radio shows will also help you. So we don't turn away from someone. We don't put ourselves in proximity to be abused, to have them speak to us unkindly or treat us unkindly. In our heart, though, we don't turn away. So what Claire was talking about is helpful to us here, Robin, because she didn't turn away. She felt that her ex was really abusing her verbally, but she took responsibility. She moved into true forgiveness, letting the opinions of the judgments and the attack thoughts go. And when she was able to clear her mind of it, he shifted and changed. And then they're seeing that now in the form of their relationship. So I think that those relationship classes and the relationship radio shows will give you many, many, many examples of how to do that. But I think fundamentally it's we take responsibility, we don't turn away, but we don't also put ourselves in harm's way. M writes in, how may I release the fear that I, oh no, we did that one. Lillian writes in, at work and other places, how to listen to others constantly judging without joining in the judging and yet be polite and keep the necessary relationships in these environments that we have to live in. That's such a great question, Lillian. This is one of the most challenging things for many of us is to do that. So, if you're not judging the judgers, if you can have compassion for them and understanding for them and not feel an aversion to them, remember, if you feel an aversion to the judgers and the complainers, then you are judging and you are complaining in your mind. But you can be at peace if you're not judging them. One of the things that you can do is recognize that anything that triggers you is a mirror of what's going on in your own awareness. So these people who are complaining and judging, they're showing you what that looks like. And you're recognizing that it's not your way anymore. You're not interested in that. So having compassion, loving kindness, I call it holding the high watch, and invoking the Holy Spirit in to do the heavy lifting. You don't have to do it. You can call upon the angels and the company of heaven to walk with you and talk with you and to speak through you if there's anything you need to say. So going to our theme of being truly helpful, it's I'm here to be truly helpful, and anything that I need to say or do, I will be guided. So I don't have to wonder what to say or to do. As long as I'm intent on being loving, I don't have to wonder what to say or what to do. Georgette says, I'm afraid I won't ever get through it, Jennifer. Getting through the boot camp, I think is what she means. And I totally understand that. I totally understand that. So that's where making that decision can help you. So making the decision that you're going to do it. I'm sure, Georgette, that there are things in your life that you made a decision you were going to do, and you did it. And you can make a decision that you're going to do it 1 week at a time. And you can call in every week, and we can talk about that if you're interested. Because what I'm hearing you say is you're afraid because you don't trust yourself. You're afraid because you doubt yourself. Because in the past, you haven't kept your agreements, maybe. In the past, you haven't supported yourself when you needed to, and you let yourself down, and you don't want to experience that anymore. We're all familiar with that. I'm extremely familiar with that. Give the heavy lifting to the Holy Spirit. And by that, I really mean calling upon the higher Holy Spirit self and just saying, look, I have this doubt. I have this fear. I have this worry. I have this concern. I have this complaint. I have this attack thought, this judgment, this resentment, whatever it is. Say, I'm not interested in energizing it anymore. I'm interested in having a totally different experience. I'm willing to have a totally different experience. I'm willing to think a different thought right now. And even if you only do that a couple of times a day and you let everything else remain the same, it's just like what Barbara said, you know, that even that dripping faucet will still fill the sink. And that's the truth of it. And that's why you have 90 days. That's 3 months. Let's see here. Roxanne says, guilt, fear, doubt, they are so sneaky and subtle. Thank you for these reminders. Self-sabotage, please. Another solid affirmation for gaining ground on living as a miracle-minded human. Okay, so let me just open my mind here to that affirmation, and then I'm going to close this out with a prayer and a blessing. I am willing to live a miraculous life. That's the one that keeps coming to me. I am willing to live a miraculous life. Mm-hmm. All right. Wow. Oh, and Susan had a question about altar, her altar. And yeah, I got it, Susan. Okay. All right. So let's pray. Let's pray. And my prayer said, you will know that if finding freedom is for you right now, if you'd like my help in walking step by step through using these tools and applying them and making the shifts and changes so you don't give up, I'm here to support you in that. That is my joy and my pleasure. And if it's not right for you at this time, you'll know that clearly too. So we take a breath. We take a breath of love and gratitude together and open our heart and open our mind to know that the higher Holy Spirit self is guiding us and leading us every moment, every day, every step of the way. We are grateful and thankful to open ourselves to an unprecedented flow of love and healing. We open ourselves here and now to clear insight. We are consciously choosing freedom. Freedom in our heart, freedom in our mind, the freedom to love, the freedom to share our gifts and talents in the world in ways that are profoundly fulfilling for ourselves and others. We are willing to stop playing small and to be the light of the world in our own life, in our own mind. We are grateful and thankful for the good that is naturally ours. We are willing to see the good in everything. We are willing to accept the good in everything. We are willing to accept our blessings and to be a blessing to others. In gratitude, we share the benefits with all because we are one with them. In gratitude, we allow our healing to be. And so it is. Amen. 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 God bless you. I love you. Thanks for joining me today. Mwah.